Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our next couple of lessons are going to be taken from the text that we read in Matthew chapter 14. I want to read for your hearing the first 12 verses, and we'll center our thoughts on these verses in the next two lessons. We turn the reading to this text because it's expedient that we read it and understand what Scripture has to say. We read, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. He said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body, and buried it, and went and told Jesus." Now, as we read this, we'll see that this is going to center upon the beheading of John the Baptist, and the consequences of it, and the things that we learn about John, things that we need to understand even about ourselves. This Herod of this passage is Herod Antipas, who became king of Galilee after the death of his father, Herod the Great. Now, the family of the Herods, there was a number of them recorded in the New Testament, but none of them were pleasing in the sight of God. But this Herod, on a journey to Rome, he met a woman named Herodias, who was the wife of his brother Philip. But he persuaded her to leave Philip and to marry him, and to this she agreed. Now, of course, as the Bible student knows, John the Baptist came preaching concerning the coming of the kingdom, telling the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was telling how men must forsake their evil actions and their evil relationships, and to prepare themselves for the one that was to come, the Christ, and for his kingdom. And his preaching of moral purity had been offensive to Herodias and to Herod, because he told them they did not have a right to one another. He said very plainly, in language that could not be misunderstood, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And in their anger, they had John the Baptist put in prison. I think just here it might be noteworthy that if some today had been preaching to Herodias and Herod, they would have told them to just repent, in a misuse of the word repent, but that it would be all right to continue in their adulterous relationship anyway. They were living in adultery. Herodias had left Philip. She married Herod. He had no right to do that. You know, it's astounding that such false doctrines that people can say they have repented, but continue in relationships that are sinful before God. And sometimes that's even being taught by churches that claim to be brethren, but they don't have respect for the Word of God as they ought. I know that there have been some that have suggested that the sin of Herod and Herodias was because of their kinship to one another, she being his niece. But that made the relationship evil, but not their adulterous marriage. Well, the problem remains. Could they continue in an evil relationship, even after they have said they had repented? Now, this is what some are teaching, and it's false. Herod and Herodias, they may have been unlawful for a number of reasons, but their marriage was an adulterous marriage, and they did not have the right to continue in it. And John the Baptist told them, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Friend, John the Baptist was a fearless preacher. Now, he had proven his courage by his strong rebuke of Jewish leaders prior to this. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Yes, he condemned those Jewish leaders because they placed their confidence in the fact that they were fleshly descendants of Abraham. Righteous living did not seem to be demanded of them whatsoever. But he had warned them that they must repent. He even condemned the evil of the king. And even doing so, he was not only preparing the way for the coming of the Lord, but he was also upholding God's marriage law that had existed since the beginning of time. There was no justification for the dissolution of the marriage of Herodias and Philip, and Herod and Herodias were living in sin. Is it not possible that there be many today who have entered into marriage without the right teaching of God to support their marriage, and they are living in adultery? John demonstrated both a fearlessness and a love when he preached to Herod and Herodias. That's the message they needed to hear. Oh, I know it was not what they wanted to hear, but John could have preached to them many things that might not have been offensive to them. Now, John didn't deliberately offend them. No preacher's going to deliberately offend people just to offend them. But John taught them the truth, and it was the truth that offended them. He showed a genuine concern and a love for their spiritual welfare. If he had not loved the souls of these two sinners, he could have just dodged altogether what they really needed and talked about something with which maybe they might have agreed. I think it's a sad commentary on much that is called preaching today, that those who are lost, they can listen to some preachers preach time after time after time, and they go away time after time after time in comfort and consolation as if all was well with them and God. When they are in sin, when they are lost, when they have not obeyed the gospel. Sometimes people can listen to preachers and they do not hear what needs to be heard. Oh, they might be entertained. Possibly they hear some lessons that they like, a lesson on love and grace, kindness, the beauties of nature, some psychology lesson, maybe something about heaven. Oh, yes, these things must be preached, and they are by faithful preachers. But when that's the steady diet, and sin is not condemned, and the sinner is not discomforted in his sins, and the way of salvation is not explained, then the preaching is lacking in that basic ingredient that God expects and that hearers deserve. many preachers will shy away from sermons on worldliness and slothfulness. They never preach on hell, lasciviousness, immodesty, and many of them, they will not preach the biblical teaching as the way of salvation. It's just so many preachers out there in the denominational world who will tell people to just pray the sinner's prayer. And there's not a single one that can find that instruction in all the pages of the Bible. That's a dogma that men have invented that they think is comforting. They won't teach what the Bible teaches about faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. They can listen to preachers time and time again, and they'll never be taught the way of salvation. Now, you want to notice John's message of approach in his preaching. It's not too hard to condemn those who are considered minor characters, and some are quick to condemn the errors and sins of what they consider to be lesser people. But you let somebody of rank and power and influence and position, whether in or out of the church, their voices become mute. Oh yes, some will stand before a large congregation, and they'll condemn sin generally. But when it comes to confronting one personally and individually, with specific violations of God's law, they stop short. Some will never preach publicly against specific sins. They won't preach against drunkenness. They won't preach against homosexuality. They won't preach against drug usage. They won't preach against adultery. They won't preach against all these things that are so commonplace in our society. They won't preach what the Bible says men need to hear in their sin. We need more preachers that are like the prophet Nathan, who came to David and convicted David of his sins. And when David was made wroth because of the transgression of the rich man that took the poor man's little lamb, Nathan told him right to his face, "Thou art the man." Now, that kind of preaching may not always set well. It may not be the way to financial increase. It may not even allow you to have long terms of service at a specific congregation. But how can one think he's done his duty if he will not preach the whole counsel of God? John's rebuke of sin, friend, was specific. It was personally applicable, and it was given to the most prominent of the land. Now, Herod heard John. Herod didn't like John the Baptist, but the people looked upon John the Baptist as a prophet. Herod would have destroyed John long before he did, if he had had his way. We know that Herodias pushed him to do this in the beheading of John the Baptist. But Herod was not content for John to be alive. He was a coward. He was a politician. He wanted to please the crowd. He was willing to let John live. But he was afraid that the multitude, if he chastised John, the multitude would turn against him. We don't need preachers that will turn away from the truth in order to pacify anybody but God. Friend, the gospel is the way of salvation. We all need to learn it. We all need to believe it. We all need to obey it. In our next lesson, we're going to see some more about the preaching of John and how we need to have that same kind of preaching today. This is a burning fire. Until next time.